You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Paul Kern.
Well, we're going to have a little fun in church today. Y'all good with having a little fun? We're going to have a little fun? All right. So you got to, you know, turn that frown upside down, right? And we're going to have a little fun today. But do we have any, like, Friends watchers in the building? People watch Friends or watched Friends? I remember my wife and I watching Friends when we first got married, you know, when it was, like, all just coming out and fresh and new. We were Friends watchers. And I don't know if any of y'all know this or not, but in September, Friends celebrated their 25th year anniversary, and that made me feel really old. I'm just telling you, I was like, holy cow, wow, I'm like getting really old. So they celebrated their 25th anniversary, and of course, you know, there's a generation of young adults that are watching it now because they can stream it on Netflix and watch all the reruns. And whether or not you like Friends or not, the fact is, it's a show that influenced and defined a generation of young adults, for sure. As a matter of fact, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but all six cast members, Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston, David Schwimmer, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc, and Matthew Perry, all of them receive 2% of the syndication income to this day off of Friends. So they get a little supplemental income each year of $20 million each. That's not bad. Yeah, $20 million, just a little supplemental income, right? Yeah. How many of y'all could, yeah, you know, I'd take a little bit of that. It's because so Friends brings in $1 billion a year for Warner Brothers, which is really crazy. But it just goes to show, you know, the influence that Friends has had on multiple generations of people. So the title of my message today is going to be Friends. That's going to be the title of my message. And we're going to be talking about not Friends the show, but we're going to be talking about friends in our life. So I thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun. Y'all know the classic Friends picture. They're all together. There's so many different ones of Friends. So I put one together that I thought you guys would like. So if y'all want to look up at the screen, cue the music. Friends. Yay. There you go. All right. Remember the music? Yeah, see? Your love lies to your way. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. I mean, you know the words? All right, sing it. Yep. Your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you. So that's Jason Ross and Sydney, our worship leaders, and Josh and Sarah Barnett, our youth pastors, and then me and my beautiful bride there in the middle. So we put together a little bit of Friends. So if my sermon's boring today or you don't like it, you can at least look at the picture and laugh a little bit and have a little bit of fun. But, you know, we're going to be talking about Friends today. And what made Friends so popular? What made it such a huge success? What made Friends such a big hit? Well, it's in the title, Friends. And we all relate to Friends and we all understand the importance of friendships. Friendships in the show, if you haven't watched it, it was about these six young adults, and they all did life together. And the whole show was about whatever different stupid scenarios that they got themselves in. And it was often very funny and sometimes crude, parental disclaimer for some of you parents out there. But it was clear that these six people had a tremendous influence on each other. I mean, they just really influenced one another in their day-to-day life because Friends influence Friends. So I'm going to make some statements today. For those of you that are taking notes, there's going to be some good one-liners that I'm going to try to throw in here for you because I think those help make the message stick a little bit better and help you remember things. So here's one right here, and this is a true statement. I didn't make this up. We've all heard this. You maybe have told this to your kids when they were growing up. But you are who you run with. How many of y'all remember your parents saying that to you? How many of you said that to your kids? You are who you run with. And maybe Friends said that to Friends. I don't know. But it's a true statement. You're who you run with. And whether you're a kid or a teenager or a young adult or middle age or you're a well-seasoned adult, you will become like your closest friends. It's just scientifically proven. It's a fact that you will become like your closest friends. And when we connect with another person, we become a conduit of their beliefs. When we connect with another person, we become a conduit of their values. When we connect with another person, we become a conduit of their decisions. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Now, I saw the truth of this scripture in my own life play out. When I was 23, many of you have heard a little bit about my testimony and coming from a broken home and drugs and alcohol so much in my past. And when I was 23, I gave my life to Christ, and I'd been sticking close to fools because I was a fool myself. And I came to Arkansas, and I didn't know anybody here, and I enrolled in Applied Life Leaders Academy. It's a college-age internship that we have here in our church for young adults. It's a program that they go through for 9 months, and at that time it was 2 years. And by far, one of the most important friendships that I ever made in my life is sitting right here in the audience today. It's my beautiful wife, Angela. The most important friendship that I ever made in my whole life. And as a matter of fact, Angela and I, when we were in the internship for the 2 years that we were there, we were just friends. And after we got out, we continued to be friends for a little while, and then she couldn't keep her hands off of me, and she asked me to marry her, and the rest is true. Well, it wasn't quite like that. It was a little bit different than that. But connecting myself with Angela was the best decision of my life, because my friendship with my wife has made me a much better man. It's made me a better leader. It's made me a better father. It's made me a better husband, and it's helped make me even a better friend of other people. You see, if you hang out with people who are godly, you are likely, very likely, to grow much closer to God yourself. That's just the way it works. If you come into a relationship and you get to be close friends with people who make good decisions, chances are you're going to be a person who's going to make good decisions. But the opposite is true as well. If you hang out with the wrong crowd of people, you'll likely end up doing stupid, dangerous things with them. Now, if you were to take a poster, I was that person, poster child, you know, don't do what this guy did. And there would be a picture of me on there in the early years of my life. And when I think back on my life, I don't know if this is true for you, but I rarely got in trouble by myself. It was almost always with other people that I got in trouble with. And here's another very interesting thing. The people that I got in trouble with, they weren't my enemies. They were my friends. There, as a matter of fact, there's probably some people in my life that I have met in my life that became a part of my life, that were friends in my life, that I look back on and I go, I wished I never had met that person. And we probably all have people like that in our life. People that we've met that we wished we never had have met, that were friends in our life, that influenced our life. And the opposite is true, because I wasn't by myself when I was a teenager and I vandalized a school and I thought it would be a good idea to take all the fire extinguishers and go spray them in all the teachers' classrooms. I thought that was a good idea, and I got caught, and I needed to. And what was really funny was the guy that I did it with, his dad was a highway patrol, which made it even worse. Oh gosh, Lord help me. I wasn't by myself when our friends and I, when we were teenagers, thought that it would be a great idea to take up a sniper's nest in the second story window of his house and shoot windshields out of passing cars that were driving down through our neighborhood. I got caught and got in a lot of trouble. Y'all didn't know I used to do these things. I got a long, long list of things that I did that I wished I hadn't done. I wasn't by myself when I used to steal quarters out of my father's spit tomb to go play video games at the local arcade. I wasn't by myself when I broke into newspaper machines and stole the quarters out of them all over my friend's hometown to go play video games. I wasn't by myself when I did drugs and alcohol. Almost every time that I did something stupid or I did something unwise, I was running around with people who were equally as foolish as me. Now, on the flip side, when I met Christ and when I began to grow as a leader, it was never in a vacuum. Never. I was blessed to have some really awesome people that God brought into my life that began to influence my life in a completely different direction than the direction that I had been going. My point is this. Whenever you're closest to God, you're always simultaneously close to godly people as well. That's the way it works in life. Here's another statement. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I want to talk to you today about your friends. You may be sitting by one of your friends. You may have friends that live close to you. You may have friends that are out of town. But I specifically want to talk about your friends and what kind of friend you are being to your friends. This applies to all audiences. It can start from the very youngest in the room to the very oldest in the room. Any success that I have in life is a result of God's help and is a result of the people that God brought across my path to be friends in my life. The fact is, the people that you know determine the story that you tell. The people that you know determine the story that you tell. And the people that you're hanging out with today, the people that you're doing life with, whether it be on the golf course, on the weekends, the people that you're around at work, the people that you are hanging with today are shaping the person that you will become tomorrow. And we all need people in our life that make us better. We all need people in our life that make us better, people who care about us. You know, somebody to listen and encourage us when we're down. People who are going to be there for us and going to speak the right things into our hearts and minds when we're discouraged and we're facing obstacles and tragedies in our life. Somebody that we can vent to, you know, when we're just frustrated, and then they're going to help give us the right answer or maybe even present to us the right question. Somebody who will be there to build us up. Not only do we need this type of friend, we need to be this type of friend. We need to be this kind of friend to the people that are in our circle, the kind of friend that other people can trust, the kind of other people that other people can lean on and can count on and can depend upon. That person that's going to be that confidant in our life, that's going to love us and encourage us and help us when we go through things in life. And that's why it's essential that you have real friends, and you have right friends. Real friends and right friends are very, very important. But here's the thing. Building friendships take a lot of effort. And building friendships take a lot of time. You know, I think what makes it difficult for us to connect with people is the fact that friendships take time and effort. They just do. You know, you think about the sitcom Friends, and you know, 25 years ago when that show came out, the landscape was so different than it is today. And one of the big things that has changed the landscape about friendship is the internet and social media. You know, the internet and social media has really, really played a huge role in drastically changing the scene of our world since the first airing of Friends. Technology's had a huge impact. This impact has redefined, really, the word friend in many, many ways. When I was growing up, friend, we kind of understood what friend meant. Friend was different. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget, and I'm about going to date myself just a little bit. Now, this movie came out way before I was a kid, so I'm not that old, but it was something that I kind of liked watching with my dad. Y'all, who watched The Lone Ranger? Anybody, the old black and white, it's probably still plays today. You know, I watched the Lone Ranger and Tonto, right? You know, his companion. So I'll never forget an episode when he took out this knife, kind of like Rambo had, because back in the day when men were men. And they cut their wrist, and they put them together, and then Tonto wrapped this thing that he had. I don't know what it's called, anyway. And they became blood brothers. You know, they were committed. So I watched that episode, and I was in like third grade, and my good friend Chris was there with me, and we looked at each other. We were like, man, we need to be blood brothers. So I went to my dad, and I said, Dad, we're watching the show, and we won't be blood brothers. And, you know, the Lone Ranger and Tonto, they cut their wrist, and they put their arms together, and they became blood brothers. And we were like, we really don't want to cut our wrist, but would you mind cutting our fingers for us? And we're going to be blood brothers. My dad said, well, sure, you know, I'll do it. And I got a scar on my finger to this day. My dad sliced me, boy, I'm talking good. I probably should have got stitches. It was that bad. So we're bleeding. I go first. My friend's like, you go first. I mean, blood's just blip, 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 blip me. And he's like, I said, dude, you got to go through with it now. You know, and so he did his, and we became blood brothers. And we were friends. We were friends for a very long time until about 10th grade, and girls kind of started coming on the scene. And then, you know, it kind of all, thanks, women. I really appreciate that. So it was just kind of different then, and now it's not so simple. Now here's the interesting thing. Now you can have dozens of friends, even hundreds of friends, get this, that you don't even know. You don't even know them. You don't do life with them. You don't vacation with them. You don't hang around them. You don't go out with them. You don't call them. You don't hardly ever talk to them. Hundreds of people that are friends. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you guys know this. I looked this up. The average person on Facebook has 300 friends. Did y'all know that? The average American on Facebook has 300 friends. But do you know that out of those 300, there's only two people that they consider to be close friends? And that's one-third fewer friends than people had 25 years ago when Friends came out and it aired. You know, I was curious. I didn't know how, I hadn't looked at my Facebook in a while as far as how many friends I had. You know, I like to post encouraging things, and some of you that follow me, you know, you'll see me posting scriptures and encouraging things, but I hadn't really looked at how many friends I had. So I looked up at how many friends I had. I got 2,400 friends. I got over 2,400 friends on Facebook. I didn't know I had 2,400 friends. I was like, oh my gosh, I got 2,400 friends. Here's what's interesting. According to the America Sociological Review, and this is going to blow your mind. According to the America Sociological Review, this is a recent statistic, a quarter of Americans, that's 80 million people. Do you know how many friends they say they have? Quarter of American, 80 million people. You know how many friends they say they have? Zero. Zero, zero, and I'll be like our pastor, nada. Zero, not a nothing, zero. I was dumbfounded by that. I couldn't believe it. Because most of us are engaged in far more online activity in our life, but many, many Americans are experiencing less and less personal intimacy, even though we're all very connected on the World Wide Web. We're connected, but we feel lonelier than we ever have. The choice to connect with someone can prove to be probably one of the most beneficial things that you can ever do in your life. You know, I never anticipated what God had in store for me when I moved to Arkansas in 1988 at the age of 23 years old. I'd never been here before. I knew one person here, and her name was Hetty, and I met her one time. That was all the people that I knew. I didn't really even know Tim. I did an interview with him, but I didn't really know him. So I was 23 years old. I was a single young adult. I came to Arkansas, and I had no way of knowing at that time that God was about to change my life in a profound way over the next 2 decades. And it came through a connection with one family, mainly one person, our lead pastor, Tim, and his family. And over the course of months and years, it was amazing how God began to transform my life. That connection with our pastor shaped my destiny. And I want you to know, church, when you decide to connect with people, you change the story that you'll tell one day. And it can be for better or it can be for worse, but connections in life are so powerful. You may be one friendship away from changing your destiny. You could be one connection away today from changing hundreds of lives. Because had I not made that connection, had I not been willing to make that trip and connect, had that family not been willing to reach out to me, have me in their home, model family in front of me, take us on vacations with them, feed us, do hobbies with me. Through all of that, so much of my life changed as a result of that connection. Friends are vital. They're vital. And I want you to get a hold of this today. Friends are vital in your life. And they're not optional. They're like food. You got to have them. They're like water. You need it every day. Friends in your life are so very, very important. Everybody needs a friend who challenges them and brings out the best in you. Everybody needs a friend who helps you grow closer to God and stronger in your faith and deeper in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody needs a friend that's going to tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it. But they're going to be that kind of friend that's not out to just make you feel good about yourself, but they're going to be a kind of friend that's really going to tell you, you know, the real truth. Everybody needs a friend that will make them better. Everybody needs a friend that will make them better. Moses made Joshua better. Joshua made Aaron better. Samuel made David better. Paul made Timothy better. Jesus made the disciples better. All because they engaged in relationship. Think about this. Do your guy friends and girlfriends in the gym make you better? I'm just asking you to think about this. Do the ladies in your Bible study, do they make you better? Do the people that you work with, do they make you sharper? Do the moms that you do life with, do they make you stronger? If not, maybe it's time for you to connect with someone else. Maybe somebody different that can make you better. I remember years ago, oh man, it's probably been over 15 years ago. I was working out in a little gym over in Mountain Pine, Arkansas. Just right down the road here. Little poor area. And I've always enjoyed working out. It's just something I like doing. And so I was in this gym working out, and I met a guy there that was 15 years younger than me. And I'd never met him, didn't really know him all that well, and we got to know each other, and we started working out together, and then coming to church, and then ultimately he came through Leaders Academy and graduated, and now he's married and he's got 3 kids and he's doing great and he's involved in his church, and it's an awesome thing. But the point of the story is when we started hanging out, I was the kind of guy, I enjoyed working out. That was something I liked doing, but I also liked Pop-Tarts and candy and Coke and white powdered sugar donuts, the little chocolate ones. Those are all, I'm equal opportunist. I didn't care. Either were great. I liked all of that, and chips and soda and all of those things, desserts and all those things. So I had one component of health, the working out part. But over here on the other side, the eating habits and the diet and all of that, I didn't possess any of that. And this guy had actually had a hold of that, and he was living that, and he was in really good shape, and He'd actually read a book that really revolutionized a lot of his thinking about eating habits and turning it into a lifestyle. And I read that book, and he began to influence me. And as a result of that one connection, it changed so much of the course of my life now that I'm, you know, a little older in years. And I brought that to our ministry, and I began to change the culture here. Y'all have all heard our pastor talking about, you know, he loved the pimento cheese sandwiches in the gas station and the Mountain Dew and the honey buns with a white glaze. Well, I'm the guy that said, you got to quit eating that. Because I would come in and see him every day, and I'm like, you got to quit eating that. You need to get to walking. You need to work out. And, you know, and finally I moved him into that. Just as a result of befriending that person, it changed my life. I still maintain that lifestyle today, and I've been able to influence many, many other people in that direction. So if you need to get healthier, connect with a person who is living healthy. Amen? If you need to get closer to God, connect with a person who's got a genuine relationship with the Father God and begin to spend time with them. If you want to have a good marriage, then find a person that's got a strong marriage. You see it evident in their relationship. You see husband and wife love each other, and they've been married for a period of time, and begin to spend time with them. If you want to grow in your parenting skills, you know, recognize people who are raising great kids, and they've got a track record, and you see that they're doing well, and connect with them, and have lunch, and begin to get some direction from them on how to do a good job. David's son Solomon said, as iron sharpens iron, I like this, so a friend sharpens a, help me, friend. That's what we do. See, if you connect with someone who makes you better today, the stories that you tell tomorrow will become more meaningful. Your story can change. So I just want to do a little introspective thinking this morning. We're just going to take a minute and just you, yourself here, just kind of forget about the person sitting to the left of you, forget about the person sitting to the right of you, and I want you to think about this question. This question I want you to ask yourself. Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Now, you may be 11 years old. You may be 18. Could be 23, 30, 50, 70, 80. I don't know. Who are you becoming? You know, I'm incredibly grateful for the friends that God has brought into my life. And I try to be a good friend myself. You know, many sociologists say that you eventually become the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. You know, your morals are going to be similar to the five closest buddies' morals that you run with and you do life with. Your finances are probably going to look like the five closest people that you do life with. Your spiritual passion or lack of it is going to be similar to those that have the most influence on your life. So with this in mind, ask yourself this question: who am I becoming? Be honest. Be honest. Is one or more of your closest friends battling addiction? Are they struggling financially? Do they consistently make bad life choices? Are their relationships toxic? Because if so, you're either right there or you're on your way to moving your life in the same direction that they are going. And on the other hand, if you're surrounding your life with people who love God with all their heart, you know, they're faith-filled people, they're positive people, they speak good things out of their mouth, they're making the world a better place because that they're in it. You know, they're generous people, they're selfless, they're giving, they serve. Well, you'll likely begin to see the same blessings in your life that they're experiencing in their life because you're spending time with them. Regardless of where you see yourself, I want to encourage you to take inventory today of your friends or your lack of friends. You know, it says you'll become like the five people that you spend the most time with. Do you even have five? Do you have three? Do you have one? Who would you want describing you at your funeral? I don't know if you ever thought about that, right? D point M said, you. I would say you were one of my best cheerleaders. Who would you want describing you at your funeral? Who knows you well enough that they could stand up and talk about the kind of friend that you were? Because the fact is, nobody's going to talk about, you know, what we possessed. Although Ward Holly was in our first service, and he and his wife Velma do our Soaring Eagles. And Ward, I don't know if y'all know this about Ward. He's like a car fanatic. He polishes. He's got a truck. He knows I like trucks, and I try to keep my truck nice. But he's got this truck that he's had forever, and he never drives it. So it's got all these years on it. It looks brand new. It has no miles. And Velma was saying, yeah, you'll probably talk about Ward's truck at his funeral. I said, yeah, that's probably true. That'd probably be the one time that I talk about something like that. But in all reality, you know, what do people talk about at funerals? They talk about the kind of person that you were and the kind of life that you lived and the kind of influence that you had on people around you. Who would you want describing you at your funeral? Which of your friends are close enough to you, intimate enough with you, that you would want them speaking on your behalf one day? And that may not be something that we really think that much about. And I know obviously when you're younger, I mean, to think about dying, it's really kind of morbid anyway. But you know, the psalmist David did it when he was really young. He said, life is like a flower in the field. It blooms and then it withers and it is no more. Life is like the grass that dries up. And it blows away and it's no more. He had an understanding on the brevity of life and how quickly life passes by and how important life is. But who would you want describing you and the friendship that you had? I want you to know today that you're one friend away from changing your life. Just one. You're one friend away from getting in better shape. You're one friend away from having a better marriage. You're one friend away from being a better student. You're one conversation away from maybe getting out of the depressed state of mind that you're in. You're one mentor away from having a life-altering experience like I had, and my life was never, ever the same. As I close today, I want to encourage you about friendship. Friendship, the importance of friendship, how vital friendship is, and how necessary it is. And by doing that, I want to encourage you and motivate you to take time to invest in your friends. Take time to do an inventory of your friends. Maybe you need to make some decisions. Maybe you need to make some new connections, because it's never too late to connect with somebody that can change your destiny. You know, I think sometimes it's really easy. You know, we think about our heart life, and it's like, you know, I got some friends, and I got a couple of friends, and you know, I don't want any more friends. I don't want to, you know, that's a lot of work. I'm happy where I'm at, and it's like, you know, I just don't have a whole lot more room in here anyway for a lot more people. And then I think about Jesus coming into our life. And Jesus living inside of us. And not only did we get the mind of Christ, come on, but we got the heart of Christ. And boy, I tell you, church, the heart of Christ, it's big. It's big. I'm so grateful that people took time for me. Whew. Loved me. Invested in me. And boy, I tell you, it was an inconvenience, and it was work. I was a lot of work. I can't tell you the number of times that I told Tim, I can't believe you didn't fire me for that. I can't believe you didn't fire me for that. I can't believe you didn't fire me for that. And he had every reason to do it. I want to encourage you, get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. Be intentional this week. Call somebody up, plan a lunch, have somebody over, cook them a dinner. If you can't cook, order in. Play some games, spend some time together. Send a text, write a note. It's crazy this morning. I was getting ready to preach. I was sitting right here in worship. Got a text from one of our interns that graduated here years ago, appreciating me. Last night, I got another one. I was like, talking about friends. Life is about people. It's not about our jobs, our stuff. It's about people. People are important. And our friends are really, really important. They're treasure. We need to value them. We need to protect them. And we need to invest in them. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand with me this morning. Let's give God a hand clap. Come on. Come on. He's worthy. Come on. God, we love you. We love you. Come on, let's just lift our hands. Father, we thank you for the friends, God, that you've brought into our lives. Let's just give God some thanks. Let's give him some praise in this house today. God, we're grateful to you. Thank you, God, for the people that you've brought into our lives. Thank you for our friends. God, we're grateful to you. And Lord, we ask that you help us to be the friend that you've called us to be. God, help us. Lord, help us to take the time. Help us to come out of our comfort zone. Lord, we pray for friends. We pray for new friends. God, we pray that you use people to help change us and grow us. And God, use us to help change and grow other people. Help us, God, to be the friends that you've called us to be so that we'll be more like you. Jesus said that he is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. God, help us to be that kind of friend today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said...
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.